That's John 10, verses 11 to 15. Excuse me, 19. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And we're reading a second passage today from Psalms, one that we all love, Psalm 23. That can be found on page 435 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anne. Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Meyer Friedman and Ray Rodenman were cardiac specialists in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was in the late 1950s, and they had a booming practice. A lot of people were having heart attacks. And they were told by their office manager that they had to either buy new furniture or have it reupholstered. So they called a reupholsterer in, and he looked at the furniture. He said, "This is very odd." He said, "It's almost in perfect condition, except at the edge of the seat, where it's worn completely out." And so Meyer and Roy started talking with each other, and they said, "I wonder if there is any correlation between people with heart problems sitting at the edge of their seat." And they decided, yes, there is a correlation between sitting at the edge of your seat and having heart problems. And they came up with an interesting theory, which has kind of passed not so much in medical, but into psychological and business lore, type A personality and type B personality. A type A personality is someone who does sit at the end of the seat, high achiever, competitive, gets a little angry at times, or a type B person who's more mellow, creative, and quiet. Time for this service vote. How many people are type A's? How many people would be type B's? Well, whether you're at the edge of your seat or not, there are times in our lives when we realize we do not have the kind of control we thought we had. And there are times in our life that we need to hear Psalm 23. And it's most often used at funerals. But I'm suggesting as we begin this summer time in the church, it would also be a wonderful psalm for us to look at. It's sort of a pilgrimage. It starts out in a really nice place and then goes to a really bad place and ends up in a wonderful eternal place. It's a psalm most of us know by heart. And it starts, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we could stop right there. The Lord is my shepherd. What does it mean that God calls himself a shepherd? What does it mean then that we are? Sheep. 200 times in the Old and New Testament, followers of God, followers of Christ, are called sheep. Now, is that necessarily a compliment? What do we know about sheep? We know that sheep are dense. Sheep are not smart animals. Sheep will follow each other over a cliff. They have little sense. Sheep are dirty animals. Particularly in the Mideast where there's not a lot of rain, sheep got really grungy looking. And sheep are basically defensive. When's the last time you heard a sheep beating up anybody? They're pretty helpless. So, type A person, type B person, what does it really honestly feel like to be called a sheep? A sheep. Couldn't have God come up with a better animal than a sheep? We're intelligent people. We don't like being compared to stupid animals. But as one person said, the sheep is smart enough to follow the shepherd. Now, you guys look really, really good. You look really clean. But why would God say that we were dirty like sheep? Why do we read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All we like sheep have gone astray. One of my heroes was a man by the name of John Stott, a wonderful preacher in England. And I was with a group, and we were listening to Stott, and it was towards the end of his life, and our lives had been touched, and we were complimenting Uncle John left and right. And he looked and he said, "If you knew how black my soul is, you would shudder." Now, one of the most godly Christian men I have ever met, but he's saying, "Hey, there's dirt inside of me." And we try to defend ourselves. But God says, "I'm your shepherd. I've got you covered." And then we go to John 10, and it gets even better, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And what does the good shepherd do? He gives his life for his sheep. A sacrificial shepherd. All the powers of evil, all the mistakes we've made, past, present, and future, have been forgiven on the cross by the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack for nothing. I shall not want. And then David, the psalmist, paints this beautiful picture of lush green grass, which, we don't see a lot of that in Hong Kong. They certainly didn't see a lot of that in the Mideast. But this oasis was still water. And David says, the good shepherd makes me lie down. How many of you are ready for a holiday tomorrow? How many of you wish you could work instead? You know, I saw some hands, you know. It's hard for type A people and type B people sometimes to just be still and know that God is God. Just to relax in the relationship we have with him. He makes us lie down. He feeds us. He gives us water. He refreshes or restores our soul. Really interesting phrase. What does it mean to restore the soul? Have you ever had anyone who's restored your soul? I mean, just being around them just is a very refreshing, positive experience. But it also means, hey, I've kind of made some mistakes and now I need restoration. And God does that. When the sheep does something wrong, the shepherd takes care of that and keeps the sheep on the right track, the right path. Sheep are prone to wander. Christians are prone to wander. C.S. Lewis says, we get to a point in our life when we have to choose one way or the other. And one way is sanctity, humility, and love. And the other way is self-pride, self-righteousness, and a zeal for persecution. Christians get off track, and the Good Shepherd has to bring them back on the proper track. Holiness, love, humility. A great place, the lush green grass, the water nearby. But then we move. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Older translations, the valley of death. The actual translation would be darkest dark. So we're just having a really good time in the meadow, and suddenly we go through a very treacherous journey. And we don't know when this is going to happen. Some of you are probably in a journey right now. I had a poignant conversation after the 9:45 service with someone who is in the valley. And we're all going to be in the valley. We are all going to suffer. But the psalmist says, I fear no evil. I fear no harm. For you, God, are with me. And that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? God with us. And as Christians, we rely on the Holy Spirit in the midst of our darkest hours. I just don't have enough discipline to get through the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But I've read The Hobbit a bunch of times. And one of my favorite Tolkien quotes, faithless is the friend who says farewell when the road gets dark. Faithless is a friend who says farewell when the road gets dark. We don't need faithless friends, but we've got a God who is with us. A God who is with us not just in the meadow, but in the darkest, deepest valleys of our life. We had a wonderful baptism at the 9:45 service. And again, the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always. That's the promise. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Defensive weapon, offensive weapon. No matter what evil, what harm comes in the way of the lamb, the good shepherd will protect his sheep. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we start in the meadow, we go through a really bad bit, and then we start our way up. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, at a Bible study this week, somebody said, that's like you get to eat behind enemy lines. That no matter who your adversaries are, God will be there and there will be a banqueting table. You will anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a very tame, lame translation. As we mentioned in the bulletin, and if you look at the 845 services, a very unique new version of Psalm 23, surely loving kindness, goodness, and mercy will pursue me. God is chasing after us with his love and forgiveness and kindness all the days of our life. And then we reach a really wonderful location, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't have sheep, but I do have a 14-year-old pug by the name of Minnie. Now, Minnie is pretty ugly right now. She's got two teeth left. She is blind, and she is deaf. And I had her outside the flat the other day, and a little girl ran up to me and said, "Can I see your monkey?" I said, "It's not a monkey, it's a dog." Scared the little girl away. I was kind of bad. She can't see, she can't hear, but she can smell me. And she follows my scent, and it's actually very, very touching. But then every once in a while, she wants to wander off. And she gets really close to the stairs, and I have to run and grab her. She doesn't know one more step and she's going to tumble. She doesn't realize how much energy and effort I put into keeping her safe. And I think that that's the way it is with our Lord. And hopefully, all of us are saying, Jesus is my Savior. But how many of us honestly are saying, Jesus is my Shepherd? Or how many of us are being unruly sheep? We want to kind of do things our own way. We want to go astray. And I am so glad for that eternal future, but right now, in the best of times and in the worst of times, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm a strong person. Well, I'm not. I need a shepherd. And I think you need a shepherd. And I think this is a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Someone told us at the Bible study, they've memorized it. Instead of counting sheep, they say the Lord's Prayer. They say Psalm 23 over and over again, and they fall asleep. I think, what better sleep aid than that, to know that you are in the care of God? Don't be a bad sheep. Forgive me. Be a faithful follower of the Good Shepherd.